Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Training camp is on. Day one in the books, our second podcast of the week. If you did not listen to the first Ira Kaufman podcast of this week, go back. Half-hour interview with Todd Bowles. A lot of lasting and interesting nuggets in there.
He said he loved me, Steve. That was the highlight.
That's how I opened the podcast. 10 seconds in, I played that clip.
But he doesn't coach for me, Lee. He doesn't coach for me.
Yeah.
I asked him today, can you change that? Come on.
We got plenty to talk about, but we're not going to go too long because we'll come back one more time later in the week. And I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Short practice today, but they're open all day at Bill Curry Ford, Ira, 1 mile north of the stadium. No payments for 90 days. Complimentary maintenance. Unbelievable. You have to get to, and I forgot, 0% financing on top of that, at Bill Curry Ford. Get to Bill Curry Ford. .com. These great summer offers through this month. They may change at the end of the month, so you want to hustle now. They're paying way over Kelley Blue Book value, especially if you want a new F-150 or you want to trade up for that. Get to the website. But more important, third generation family dealership at Bill Curry Ford, moving into the fourth generation since 1960. Beautiful showroom, and our good friend Sean Sullivan, biggest Bucks fan around. He's tied with a lot of other people, but he's an all-timer, and he is ready to assist you, guide you, get you to where you need to go at the dealership, but he'll answer your questions if you email him. You can find him on the website. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount that he disperses as well, and sometimes I get emails, Ira. People want to know what's the discount, which I get the question, but it's like, are you buying a $9,000 used vehicle, or are you buying a $58,000 used vehicle, or a new $100,000 vehicle, or a Mustang Roush? You getting $500 in body work or $5,000 in body work? It depends. But Sean is there for you. They love Bucks fans over there, big Bucks supporters. We appreciate all their support. BillCurryFord.com. That's the website. Curry is the family name. BillCurryFord.com. And Ira, you discovered a little water damage in your kitchen this morning. You took pictures. It's funny that you asked me before you called Florida's Elite Restoration, but you did the right thing. You called Josh immediately, and Florida's Elite Restoration, he's the owner, Josh Martin. They're a big company. It's not just one guy, Josh, in his living room, but you call them first when you see water damage, and they come out, give you that free inspection. And they'll work with you with your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. And they can do all the restoration work, repair. But they're there for people with storm damage, mold, fire, flood damage. 5-star Google reviews across the board, which is stunning.
As soon as I saw this, I'm not wasting any time with water damage. You said you gotta call right away.
You can't mess around because it's your greatest asset. And the insurance companies, if they're going to pay you, they expect you to mitigate right away. You can't say, well, you know, 6 weeks ago I saw this, but my aunt Sonia was over and I didn't feel like dealing with it. No. So I'm glad you got right on it. And all of our listeners need to do the same. Put Florida's Elite Restoration in your disaster plan. Their team there, they've got decades of experience on the insurance side of the business. So they know how to navigate you and make sure you get the money and get the restoration you deserve and that you're paying for your property. Ira, your thoughts walking around training camp today, abbreviated session, underwear football, that's the way it is in the NFL, their ramp-up period, as they call it, an impression from you.
I saw something that I really liked to see, a sort of an overview. I thought it was crisp. I thought it was organized. Not a lot of laying around. Some Buck regimes in the past, you go to training camp, there's a lot of wasted time. I didn't see that today. I also saw the side of Mr. Heck filling in at left tackle, and I saw Mr. Wirfs kind of on the sideline just walking around.
On crutches.
And then I saw a familiar figure, one of the great cornerbacks in NFL history, who happened to have a son who's trying to make this 53-man roster, and just might. Deion Sanders was in the house. I don't know if he's going to be here all weekly. I didn't talk to him. I said hello to him. He gave me a nice hello. His son looks like a pretty good athlete. I was watching him. He's a good athlete.
He's a smart guy, and you can tell he works. I don't know how to say this, but it seemed like most of the starters had the day off. I even mentioned it to Steve. Like, man, the scrubs are getting a lot of work today. To me, it didn't seem to be fast-paced. It was like an underwear football practice, which it was.
They don't want to overdo it on day one. Yeah, I understand that.
There were two guys that stood above the rest, one in particular, and I love to see both. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to get ahead of my skis. It's still underwear football. It's day one of training camp. It's still July. We've got a long way to go to September. But Mike Evans was having his way with Bucks cornerbacks. I don't care if it was a starter. I don't care if it was a guy that a lot of people are praying that he's a starter because he was a second-round pick.
Are you trying to get me to mention Jamel Dean again, Lee?
No, but I'm just telling you, Mike Evans, it was like a man playing with boys out there for a while. For a while, maybe the first half of 11-on-11s. The second half of 11-on-11s, I don't know if Antoine Winfield took it upon himself. I don't know if Todd Bowles or someone went up to Winfield. Nick Rapone goes up to Winfield and say, hey, you're supposed to be a leader. This guy's making you like a bunch of clowns. Do something about it. Winfield went nuts in the second half.
Oh, I like that because I talked to him extensively after practice.
So it was great to see two all-pros on the Bucks roster just take over at different points of practice.
And healthy.
Well, yeah, but again, it's day one. So, you know, Kalijah Kancey hasn't gone through training camp yet. So let's pull back the reins.
I did the kiss of death for you today, Stevie.
Uh-oh.
At approximately 8:43 this morning, I turned to one of the PR people and said, this weather's not too bad. It's not bad out here. Of course, there was a lot of cloud cover. At 10:05, I wasn't saying that, Steve. The heat came on.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty out there, you know. But that's how it is. Super high heat.
But we do have water, Lee. We do have water.
We got water.
Thing. We got water.
You know, hey, even the Bengals feed prison food to the media.
You know, but they don't sign their own players.
Lee. I thought the 11-on-11 was very crisp. I didn't think the 7-on-7s and the drills looked a little. Some of them, there was a lot of dead time.
Fair point. Haphazard.
Fair point by Steve.
You know, it's first day. Robert Ayers, the former Buccaneer edge rusher from 2016 and 2017, he is now a coaching intern working with edge rushers, defensive linemen. You know, he's got a big personality. I thought some of his unit when he was working with them that it looked like a coaching intern a little bit.
I hope he's not contradicting what Simeon Rice told Yaya Diaby the other day.
I'm just talking about the drill management, you know, still working on a couple things, but I cornered him. He didn't want to talk to me. I'm like, come on, Ayers. You've been here before. People want to hear from you. He laughed. He's like, not today. I got meetings. I don't even know where I am yet. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, Mike Evans looked fantastic. And there was one slant where he just beat Benjamin Morrison so quickly. It was as if Morrison
welcome to the NFL, yeah, rookie.
As I put out on Twitter, Morrison quickly learned he wasn't facing a slappy from Stanford that he's going to hire next year to do his taxes.
There you go, baby. There you go.
Mayfield looked pretty good, but he did throw picks. But it's, again, first day of practice. One guy who had a pick was Bryce Hall, who...
Boy, we never mentioned that guy's name, Steve.
Balls talked about in his news conference was less like the way this guy's come back, fantastic. He looks fantastic, really excited.
We don't mention his name often in the corner competition.
And we shouldn't. He played half a game last year. Dislocated his ankle, same injury as Chris Godwin. We've talked about this before.
He told you Godwin's injury was worse. He told you.
Hall told me that Godwin's injury was worse, and Hall's had this injury twice, but he was cleared in February. Godwin, we're still waiting on. And Hall's an interesting person because Balls went out of his way to say today, which I thought was a very interesting comment, quote, I think we finally have depth at almost every position right now. Now, that's a big statement from a fourth-year head coach, you know, that, hey, we finally got the depth on this roster, and, look, the whole offense is coming back. So
what's going on with this linebacker they got from the Dolphins? What's going on there?
They said he'll be back next week, Anthony Walker.
A non-football injury?
I don't know. I mean, for fans listening, that could be hurt himself jet skiing, could be a car accident. Could be stepped on a nail at his house.
Do we want this guy missing the beginning of training camp?
No, but they're not concerned about him. So, but him saying he finally has depth at every position, you know, look at what's going on at corner. And we were just mentioning Hall, a guy who a lot of fans are thinking, who's this guy? He probably won't make the team. The coach seems to really like him.
You know, the one position, Lee, I hate to give you this because it's room service for you, Lee.
Oh, no.
Do they really have depth at edge rusher? Do they?
Well, they got depth, but it ain't good.
I mean, I guess if you count Nelson as your third guy, He's not bad as a third guy, but Reddick's got a lot to prove. Lee, he's got a lot to prove, and Diaby might have taken a step back last year as far as rushing the passer.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I like Diaby too much to throw in the towel, but yeah, you know me. Pressures don't mean a damn thing to me. No, I mean, I wrote this morning. You're going to get me room service. Ira. Can you think of any other made-up stat that is a horseshoes and hand grenade stat, which means, oh, they almost, that people rise up to, like, this is production. Like, if a guy has almost breaks six tackles, is that a good thing? If a guy almost had six tackles on defense, is that a good thing? Oh, a guy almost had five more completions. Oh, that's a good thing. But when it comes to passion, oh, he almost got there. That's great. No. Well,
that's the story of Joe Tryon Shoyanka.
Did you read my Pat Kerwin line?
No.
I was listening to Kerwin yesterday, and they were talking about Myles Garrett and the Browns. And Kerwin's really...
Wait a minute. He put Shoyanka in the same sentence as Myles Garrett?
Same paragraph.
All right.
He was really frustrated that the Browns basically are... It's Myles Garrett and the 52 Dwarves. You know, he's saying, you know, where's Myles Garrett going to get some help? Where's someone going to take pressure off of Myles Garrett on the other side? He rattled off a couple names. Is it so-and-so? Is it so-and-so? Then he gets to Shoyanka. He goes, is it Joe I'm trying?
Kerwin knows his bucks, Steve. He puts buck references in every freaking day.
Well, we've got competition. Bowles seems very excited about it, and we'll see where it goes. But
I do like the depth on this team, Steve.
There's nothing to complain about with the depth. And we talked about previously... You know, yeah, their number four edge rusher right now is, I guess on paper, is Braswell. But he's played a lot more than all the other number four edge rushers in the NFC South. It's all relative. I thought Bowles got a little testy today.
Whoa.
With the media. Now, he was asked.
Well, he was chipper with Ira later on.
Yeah, he was.
I'm going to say short, testy. Fans can watch the video. But he was asked about the Tristan Wirfs injury and recovery. Surgery, whatever. And, you know, we talked to Bowles about it on our Monday podcast, and NBC Sports wrote about it. NFL.com did a story about our story. So here it is Wednesday, and the local media, you know, most of which pretend we don't exist, even though we do, they asked him about Wirfs, and he got kind of short and said, look, this isn't a murder mystery. I talked about this, and, you know, he's coming back. He's getting healthy, and he's coming back.
But they prefaced the question by saying, this is the first time you're ever going to comment. You're going to be commenting on Tristan.
I don't have the quote. I think somebody said that to him. It's our first chance. He didn't want to talk about it, and, of course, he doesn't want to talk about Godwin anymore. And we'll get into Godwin, though, because there's a little confusion there, I think. So, Ira... You know, I felt that Bowles almost put pressure on himself even more. Not that he's feeling it, because he's not. And he's not even trying to please you, as we learned on the last podcast.
Which is a mistake.
Yeah. Major mistake. Major mistake. But you know what? Bottom line, Todd Bowles, he's saying the depth's better than ever. So you got a franchise Pro Bowl quarterback.
There ain't too many excuses left.
There's
Steve.
None left. None left. Your kicker's healthy. Knock on wood. Everybody
got
else
a new
is
punter.
Good. Riley Dixon, who is a good punter, actually been watching film last year. I wasn't watching punter film. I'm not that crazy. But I was watching a replay, and Riley Dixon threw a 30-yard pass as a punter last year. So that's something to watch for. He completed it as well. Very nicely thrown ball.
Nice to say that the Bucks don't punt a lot, Lee. Not, at least they didn't last year. Not a lot.
I got to say this while you brought it up, Iyer. Kamarja, the former Bucks punter?
Yeah, Kamarja.
Kamarja. Well, all training camps are open now. Many teams have two punters in their camp. And this guy, 2 years removed from looking like the Bucks really had something, he's unemployed. He can't get a tryout.
Excellent point, Lee.
I know, like I said, this got some reaction on Twitter. I put it out there. I know that punters and kickers are, well, unique.
Yeah.
And I know they have a lot of ups and downs. But in my mind... A guy just 2 years removed who looked like he was on the cusp of something. And now when a lot of teams, not saying all, but a lot of teams have two punters in camp and he's looking for work, it makes you think there's something going on.
I don't know if we're ever going to get to the bottom of this Kamarja stuff, because he did look good 3 years ago. He did.
That could be personal. I mean, look at the wacky stuff with Aguayo when he just... Now, he was never any good in the NFL, so that's different. Very different analogy. But
like Lee said, though, kickers go AWOL. That's why when you get a Justin Tucker or something like that, a Butker, then you really and McLaughlin. McLaughlin is now in that category.
He's phenomenal. Yeah, they don't even want you saying his name around one buck because they don't want to jinx anything. But you know what? It reminds me, I listened to Devin White had a June news conference at Raiders minicamp, and he did not back off. Or, you know, a lot of players try to shy away from injuries. He was basically saying, you know, my foot's been messed up for a couple of years, and now I'm really back. So we'll see.
Well, the Raiders are going to give him every chance to shine. Like, you know that.
There's no depth there.
They need playmakers on that side of the ball.
Interesting. He said he did not talk to Tom Brady before he signed, but he did. Now, I'm not saying I believe any of that, but he did talk to him after signing with the Raiders. But he talked about how close he was with John Spytek, like to the point of
ding, ding, ding.
Going back to Devin White's days pre-draft, apparently Spytek came to his hometown or his – I think he said his hometown, but he went to Louisiana, had dinner with him, and it was interesting. Him talking about Spytek, saying how Spytek's kids always wore his jersey and special relationship.
Lee, if White's been humbled, which he might be, if he's been humbled by what's happened the last few years and who had a coach who really believed in him in bowls and then basically lost faith in him through the fault of White, if he's been humbled, he's not too old to resurrect his career, Lee.
Age-wise, no. No. He's still, what, 28 maybe? 27?
27, yeah. Devin White.
From what I heard about White, I had heard, I'm trying to put this in a delicate way, he showed up in Las Vegas like he had a few buffets at the Wynn. I'll just leave it at that.
He looks a little bigger, for sure. Looks a little bigger, but I don't know. It's a news conference. Ira, one guy who showed up at camp today, Kalijah Kancey. Now, I sarcastically wrote that he made it through the first day because he's had these calf issues. Every training camp, he's got calf issues.
There's that Isbit sarcasm again, Lee.
I love it. Never goes away.
Never goes away.
Well, you know, I
hope it never does.
I joked around a little bit with Kancey about it, but he said that, you know, he hasn't never sought a specialist or anything like that, just that he's really been emphasizing the Cavs, new routine, more recovery, more treatment, and he just feels like it's not going to happen again. That's his mindset. It was a different calf each year, and he thinks it's behind him. Obviously, he finished up the season very strong, and maybe it is, but I think that's a very underspoken aspect of this team is Kancey, what he can really do for 17 games as a young, budding superstar.
I kind of think he's on the verge of stardom, Lee.
Don't tell that to the PFF frauds.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you watch him on tape, Lee. He makes things happen.
Yeah, I think he's a damn good player. And the PFF frauds are not acting. They flat out wrote that he's playing for his job.
I think he's going to turn out to be one of life's best picks.
I like him. I really like him. I think his detractors on his run defense are way off base. I think he's really, really good at a pass rush. I like his quickness because that gives him a little bit of flexibility to use him in different spots. I think he's a hell of a player.
I'm not
a sophist like the PFF frauds.
I'm looking for 15 to 20 tackles for loss if he plays a full season.
Oh,
if he plays a full season.
Hey, that would be phenomenal. Ira, we saw you cornering Antoine Winfield Jr. today.
I waited for him.
You squeezed him?
Out in the searing sun, you're there. And it seemed like more than just a hello.
He couldn't wait to talk.
What did he want to say to you?
Well, I said, a year ago, you were coming off, and Lee, you've heard me say this before, maybe the highest praise I can give. I said, you were coming off a Rondé Barber season. Prime time Rondé Barber. You checked all the boxes. Now, you're coming off an injury-riddled season where you didn't play up to your standards, and he didn't disagree with me. First thing he says, I'm not making any excuses about an injury. I didn't get the job done, basically. I said, you're supposed to be the tone setter. He says, I am.
He showed that today.
I'm the tone setter. Yeah.
He showed that today.
And he says, that's why I'm getting paid what I'm getting paid. That's what he said, which is a strong
quote. That's very rare. Winfield, especially, but for any player to talk about money, for some reason it's taboo. But Winfield never says anything like that.
Because I said, do you think about your contract much and letting people down? And that's when he said, that's why I'm getting paid what I'm getting paid. He can't wait because he's feeling healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's this defense got to work on? One or two things to get back to where you want it to be. He said interceptions, Lee. I'm sorry. He did. And then when I mentioned tackling, he goes, I forgot about tackling. Big problem last year. Myself included, which I like to hear. I said, is it more the running backs or the receivers that you're screwing up the tackles on as a defense. This might be the quote of the story. We got killed in the flats last year. We got killed.
Yeah, it's fair.
The guy would check it down. We miss a tackle. It's 12 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all about this defense.
I like that he emphasized tackling. You know, he forgot it. I like that he said it because in my mind, there's not a damn thing wrong with three and outs. Not a damn thing wrong.
So they got killed in the flats, gutted up the middle of the field.
And no picks.
And no picks. And no edge rush. Now, I will give him credit for...
Other than that, everything was cool.
Yeah. I mean, look, they hit the quarterback at a high rate. They sack at a high rate.
And he thinks Tyke Smith's going to be really good in the back of the defense with him.
He made a play today at training camp
as well.
So he looked real active, looked comfortable, let's say, which is a good thing.
Thinking back a couple hours ago, I'm almost thinking that Bowles or Nick Rapone or someone did some rear-end chewing. Like, Evans is out here killing you guys. What are you going to do about it? It was like a snap of the finger. All of a sudden, that practice flipped from Evans to Winfield.
Who's fighting Parrish for the nickel job?
Is he in the mix?
Izzian, to me, is I think he's a safety.
Izzian's in the mix. And, look, they got to see. They're not just going to gift him the job. I think what's going on is they have to see that Smith is as comfortable and as good at safety as they think he will be and apparently is off
and
to a good start.
And I guess Smith's idea is I want to be on the field the whole freaking game,
not
just in the nickel.
So they know that Izzian can play safety, at least fill in pretty well. I mean, the best tackling game, Bowles told us on the podcast, he said the only game we tackled was Detroit. That's the only game we tackled well. And he said that on the podcast. And
they played 18 games, Steve.
Izzian was on the field that day.
And Dennis.
Exactly. So, you know, Izzian had a pick and played well. So they know he can do it. Now, it's not who they want starting. He's not at that talent level. But I think they just got to see it shake out.
I think Parrish, it's wide open for Parrish to grab that job.
Well, you know, we haven't seen a lot of Parrish because he's a rookie and, you know, he hasn't been through that many practices. But from what I've seen of him, there, nothing suggests he can't get the job done. He looks like he's a nice pick.
I mean, Smith was a good rookie nickelback. Not great, but good. But he did lead the team, tied with David, in forced turnovers. And he had the flu early in the season, and he was banged up.
I thought he might have hit the rookie wall, like Tyke Smith.
That's very possible.
A little bit.
And they wanted him, Bolts had said he wanted him to get a little stronger, and he talked about that at the owners' meetings. But Parrish is a third-round pick, too. Why can't he step in and do just as well?
Ivor, have you noticed this over the years? I'm beginning to notice this. And, you know, I haven't covered the NFL nowhere near what you have. You notice when rookies are rookies, and you ask them about the rookie wall, flatly denied.
Always.
But a couple months later, yeah.
Yeah, they're very careful about what they say.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they think about it a little bit more. And
going to be a lot of national people in, I think, by the weekend. You know, the Priscos of the world, they're coming in.
Yeah, the Bucks are going to get some national attention.
I thought the Bucks are never get any respect, according to Jason White.
They're starting to.
Gerald McCoy's coming in with NFL Network.
McCoy's coming in?
We were told Steve Smith will be here as well.
Is he going to wear a kimono?
Kimono? It might be too hot for that, but... He loves coming in, and hopefully we can get him on the podcast. I'm working on that behind the scenes.
Oh, very nice.
We'll see what is.
Tell him I put him in my top 25.
Yeah, but he's still mad at you for not voting him all decade.
Oh.
He is. You know he is.
Oh, and maybe he is.
Ira, look, Chris Godwin, not even seen at practice.
Not seen at practice.
So when we say that, meaning, yeah, we knew he wasn't going to play. But he wasn't like Tristan Wirfs, where out there with crutches and a jersey and walking around, looking, talking. So Godwin's invisible right now by choice. You know, nobody thinks he's in a wheelchair. They haven't even ruled him out week one, but he wasn't out there. I thought that was a little bit interesting. There's a chance we missed him, but I don't think so. And Bowles told us the other day that he had a procedure. He's coming back and, you know.
The procedure was the key word. We didn't catch it.
Now, we didn't catch it from the standpoint of another procedure.
Another procedure, yeah.
But I did a little digging, and I guess a lot of times it's not uncommon for, with this injury, the dislocated ankle, to go in, and after it heals, look at it.
Didn't he wreck a lot of ligaments, too?
And get a little cleanup.
Time?
Oh, yeah.
His ankle was trash.
Yeah. The ligaments just shot, dislocated. That means you ripped the ligaments. That means your leg actually breaks as well, kind of breaks off the...
I'm not trying to play a doctor because I'm not a doctor. Did he have screws in his ankle? I guess no one said.
I have no idea.
Well, in theory, just overall question. If someone had to have ankle or screws put in their ankles, would they use a quote-unquote procedure to take the screws out or would they leave them in?
I don't know. ESPN reported that he had a procedure on the ankle. They didn't say when. Sort of like a clean-out thing. And he's fine. So what that means, it doesn't matter. Bowles still stuck to the same script he told us on Monday, which is he's moving forward. Everything's fine.
If he's ready week one, I think that's a bonus at this point.
Maybe. Lee. What I mean by that is, do you want to rush him?
They don't want to rush him.
Yeah.
I'm resigned to believe, Ira, that the Bucs right now, they look at Chris Godwin and think, okay, he is not going to be the player he was last year at all this season. And we're okay with that because we expect him to significantly contribute at some point. And obviously we'll have him later in the year. And next year when he's 30, he'll be back full throttle. He's in great shape. We'll get full throttle
Godwin. I can see that, Steve. I could see that.
How could they expect
him to... So you're thinking first year back from that kind of an injury, he's not going
to
be the same.
Well, I think he might be, but it's too late to be, to expect him to be the same player. If he was cleared in April, I'd expect him to be good in September, but now...
Can you see him playing in the preseason?
No.
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 That ESPN article that the Bucks gave intel to, the thing that stuck out for me, and yes, I'm being sarcastic, somewhat, that the procedure was not a surprise to Godwin. I said, well, I hope not. Imagine going to bed one night, next thing you wake up, you're in a freaking emergency room or surgery room. Jeebany, Chris.
Ira, that once happened to Ira once. He got past that four-hour limit, and things happened.
I want to urge a little caution, Steve, in the Wirfs situation, where I think some fans might be inclinedly, some, to automatically assume that the Bucks screwed this up.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's a little... That's a little premature. Yeah, we don't know enough about it.
We fleshed it out. We talked to Bowles. As Bowles said to us, hey, things don't always heal just right. That's life.
You never want to go under the knife if you can avoid it.
Some people try to avoid it.
And
some people do. Some players are aggressive with that. I've actually got a...
Well, I mean, in theory, you never want to go over the knife as a human being.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, some people do. They want to fix it right away. They don't want to wait. They'd rather get the surgery than wait on it.
Didn't Will Levis just have surgery and taking him out for the season?
Yeah. Oh, the poor Titans.
Yeah, Will Levis. which opens the door for Cam Ward.
Like that
the door was open anyway.
Yeah.
We won't get to see him at joint practice here in Tampa. Ira, look, we're cutting out on this nice and tight
podcast.
But we're
going to be back later in the week.
When some things are happening. No pads until Monday. So the Bucks schedule Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
But the fans are coming out. The real diehard
Thursday
fan.
And Friday. So the Thursday and Friday, the average Joes will be here.
And the first padded practice is Monday.
Monday off Saturday. Sunday will be also fans, but special interest group. It's a youth day or something like that. So we're getting there to see some real football that guys like Sean Sullivan and the great fans at Bill Curry Ford want to know about who's hitting
who. A lot of positive energy around this team, Steve.
It should be.
A lot of positive energy.
Sean was looking for an update today. I was in the middle of filming some practice, recording on my phone the periods we are allowed to record, and Sean called and couldn't take his call, and so I had to shut the recorder off, reply, sorry, Sean, I can't talk now.
Bill Curry Ford shop there this weekend. Their summer event is on. So many offers, BillCurryFord.com, and shop today. You don't have to wait till the weekend. But if you're free on Saturday.
Aren't you calling this Freedom Summer over there, Steve?
A Freedom Summer. How about that, Ira? Ira likes anything that says freedom. If he doesn't have to work, Ira likes it. That's a Roy Cummings quote, by the way. Florida's Elite Restoration. Take it seriously. Get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. Get it in your favorites, in your phone. Be ready to call them as soon as you spot an emergency at your home or business. They cover the whole Bay Area and across the state toward Orlando. Ira, a final thought. I know you said a lot of optimism. I think all the fans know that. Is there a final thought that you don't think the fans...
Yeah, I just got to give a little tease, Steve. A final thought and a tease.
Is this your John Gruden sit down?
I had a sit down with Gruden. You talk about somebody who's optimistic about the 2025 Bucks. And I think it goes beyond him being in the Ring of Honor. I think he's being genuine. He likes this team. He likes the depth. He even gave a quote on Payne Durham, of all people, which I passed on to... Mr. DeKemper over there. Payne Durham he's talking about.
Did he utter these following words? Love those guys.
Yeah, a few times. Love those guys. But he's very high on Jason White.
Did he mention meeting with Grizzard at all? That they crossed paths?
No, but he talked about Grizzard. You know, when I said the guy hasn't called play, he goes, Canales wasn't a 15-year veteran of calling plays. And neither was Cone. He thinks Cruzard's going to do a good job. He does.
Well, I do have to say about that, since Gruden seems to love everybody and is very Mr. Johnny, I love this guy, that guy, love every college, love anybody who sends me, love everybody who sends me a cardboard box. This was you and Chucky, man to man. You know him very well. No cameras, no bullshit, just Ira with his recorder.
He even said sports writers have gotten better over the years. We used to have ass wipes like you, Ira. So then I knew he was in a good mood.
All right, on that note, we're out of here.